You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
This is a day that the Lord hath made, so let's rejoice in it and be glad. Our scripture reading will be in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Notwithstanding, you have well done, that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound on your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that this, the reading of your word, will be well-pleasing to you, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy that is ours to fellowship together and to worship you. We thank you, Father, you've appointed this time in our life to set it aside that we might gather together, we might praise you and give glory to you and your Son and our Savior, to thank you for the gift that is unspeakable. And Father, we pray that the lesson might build us up in a faith that's holy, that might instruct us in the way of wisdom, that might give us understanding, so that in all things we might honor him who loved us and gave his life for us. We pray these things, Father, in his name and for his sake. Amen. Going to talk a little bit today about giving, and a couple of caveats. It's not necessarily a lesson that you might anticipate, or anyone else who's listening to this might anticipate about giving. We're not having a fund drive. Our resources are not at a low. There's no motive other than to study the Word of God in the talk about giving. Paul here in this passage in Philippians talks about giving. In verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did share with my affliction. And then he spends the rest of this letter, finishing up this letter to the Philippians, talking about their giving. And they're giving to him, and being the only people who've ever given to him. And he says that back down in verse 15. But ye only, the last phrase in verse 15. But ye only. The only ones to have given to him. And I think it's important for us to pay attention to giving. I think so much is misunderstood. Giving is not tithing. Tithing is not giving. They're different. Tithing is taxation. That's what it is. Tithing is taxation. It's a form of taxation imposed upon Jewish believers and unbelievers alike in the Old Testament. A tithe is a tenth of a percent. A tithe is a tenth of a percent. And giving is not tithing. Tithing was mandatory. And when you think about giving, and you think about a passage in Scripture that means giving to you and how you frame it, I think the one that comes to our attention is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go there real quick. Talks about a cheerful giver. You remember that? God loves a cheerful giver, and many of us use this, and I hope we don't use it in the wrong way. We don't use it to compromise our lack of giving. I just don't feel cheerful today. I'm keeping what I've got. Now, I hope we... Well, I would have given more, but I was only half cheerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I'm very familiar with this. It's every man according as he purposes in his heart. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But giving is not tithing. Tithing is a taxation. Do you know that there are three tithes that were mandatory in the Old Testament? You may not be familiar with this, but let's go back and let's look at them real quickly. Let's start in Numbers chapter 14. And these three make up the required taxation that God had to impose upon the Israelites in order to take care of those who totally relied upon Him. And The first one we're going to look at is a national tax. The second one we'll look at is a feast tax. And the third one we're going to look at is a priest and a poor tax. And it's imposed upon everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. In Numbers chapter 18, let's begin with verse 21. God spoke to Moses and said, "Behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service." You know, all the tribes, and Levi was one of them, all the tribes got a piece of the land. They got a piece of the action, but Levi didn't get anything. What was given to Levi, well, back up. Chapter 18, let's look at verse 1. "The Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of the witness." So Levi was given that particular relationship with God that dealt with the services. They had the sanctuary, they had the tabernacle, and they had the priesthood. Particularly given in the lineage of Levi was to Aaron and his lineage the service of the priesthood. Those were the only ones that had that responsibility. But they didn't get any land. If they didn't have any land, they couldn't raise any crops. They couldn't grow any grapes and have any wine. They couldn't have any oil. They couldn't have any corn. They couldn't have any sheep. How were they going to eat? How are they going to subsist? And God said, what I'm going to do in verse 21 is I'm going to give to them a tenth of all that the nation brings in. And he's very specific about it. So that was a national tax. We're living under a theocracy here. We're not living under anything else. The government was religious. The religious leaders were the government. And so we had a tax here, verse 22. "Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I've given to the Levites to inherit." So there you have it. That's the first one. It's a tithe. It's a national tax. It's a national tax. The second one we find over in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And this is a tax that's every year imposed upon the people who come to that place where God sets up His place of worship, and they have a feast. And they bring what they have, and if they have too far to come, for instance, it's a 5-day journey, and or maybe even a 5-week journey, and you can't bring your horses and your cattle, or you can't bring anything that spoils, you can convert it to money, and you can bring the money, and when you get to that place where God appoints, you can buy what you need in order to join in this feast, and it's a national feast for everybody. Does that conjure up any ideas about what was going on in the temple when the Lord came? The money exchangers? Well, another story, but there's a relationship there. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy grain, of thy wine and thine oil, and the firstling of thy herd and thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go into the place where the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul desires." And it's a national feast. They get the whatever it is they need, the corn, the wheat, the wine, the animals, the sheep, what the cows, whatever they need, they bring it and they celebrate. And they have a big feast day. A big feast. And that's the second tithe. It's a tax. And it's a tax to feed everybody. The third one is in the same chapter, verse 28. This is a tax that occurs every 3 years. "At the end of 3 years, verse 28, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it upon up within thy gates, and the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow who are within the gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. That's the third tithe. It's a form of taxation. And this is even brought forth out in Malachi when it says, bring all that you have into the storehouse. The storehouse there is not what you might think. It's a treasury. It's a treasury. So it's not giving. Tithing is not giving. It's a mandatory. So get that straight. Tithing is a form of taxation. There were two taxes each year, and then on the third year, there were three taxes. So there were three tithes that they had to give. Tithing has nothing to do with giving. You got that? Tithing has nothing to do with giving. It's different. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In this letter to Corinthians, Paul brings out those in Macedonia, that's the Philippians, and their giving. And it's so important he spends, and remember, chapter 9 is where we got our verse. Chapter 9, verse 7, remember that? God loves a cheerful giver. Well, that's just part of a whole context, and we need to pay a little bit of attention. I'm going to give you three principles of giving, and we'll see them here. Now, there's more. I read one commentary. There were 15 principles in these two chapters. Paul spends two chapters talking to these believers in Corinth about giving. And part of the problem is because they started to give back in 1 Corinthians, and they quit. And that probably was a problem with Timothy. Timothy wasn't tough enough to get them to continue on. And so he sends Titus, and we'll see that. But God spends, through Paul, two chapters here explaining these principles, and they can range from the three I'm going to give you to, I read one where there's nine, another where there was 11, and of course one I just told you about that had 15 different principles. It just depends on how minute you want to get or how general. And I like to get general. So we're going to get general. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we begin. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Principle number one, we find here in the first three verses. Principle number one, that everything that you have, and everything that the Corinthians have, and everything that the Macedonians, the Philippians have, comes from God. Got to have that. Principle number one, He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Whatever position you are in life, whatever condition you find yourself in, and the Macedonians, Philippians, are poor. These are people who've been wiped out by the Romans. Levi tells us that in he's a Latin historian, and he said this whole area was decimated. Philippi, we know from many of our teachings, was a Roman colony that was set up to examine or to mirror Rome. In fact, when Paul got there, the Jews didn't even have a place to worship. You remember in Lydia on the riverbed? It was a very poverty-stricken area, and particularly for Jewish people, because guess who's in power? Caesar. The first principle is that everything you have, God gave it to you. Whatever situation you're in, whether you're poor or rich or somewhere in between, the first principle, look in verse 2. He continues with this principle, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, that's the Philippians, and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. These guys were super poor, and yet they had such great joy in being able to give. It abounded in their liberality. Didn't matter. God doesn't look at the quantity that you give. And that's where we come into principle number two. God looks at the purpose behind your giving. So principle number two is that God loves a cheerful giver. You can't do that until you do what the Philippians did, and that is they first gave themselves unto the Lord. Pick it up with verse 4. No, verse 3, sorry. For to their power I bear witness. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, beseeching us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The first thing they do is recognize that God is sovereign over all of these matters in their life. The second thing then is they give themselves unto the Lord. And the only way that you can have a cheerful giver is that he doesn't hang on to what he's got. He's not concerned about where his next meal or next dime or next supply that is needed is going to come from. So principle number one, and the Jews had to understand this. I mean, God wrote many times to the Jew to understand that you see the cattle on 1,000 hills, who are they? Who do they belong to? You look at the heaven and you look at the heaven of heavens, they belong to the Lord, as does the earth and all that is there in it. It all belongs to Him. When you have that understanding and that relationship with Him, the second thing is easier, giving of yourself to Him. What is it that He desires of you more than a willing heart? Nothing. He wants a willing... In fact, He even brings this out in verse 12. And that this passage of my second principle ends at verse 12. So from verse 3 to 12, we have this idea that we have a willing heart. Verse 12 says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man has, and not according to that which he has not." This is a voluntary giving. This is a giving that is a free will giving. It is never a giving that is coerced or pressured. It's voluntary, we see in verse 8. "I speak not by commandment," Paul says. In other words, this isn't a tithe. It's not a taxation. It's not something you have to do. It's not by commandment. It is a voluntary giving. Now, how many times have you been in a church and they bring out the guy that's really good at telling the story, and by the time the story's over, everybody's crying and they pass the bucket? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't know how many times that preachers and churches get themselves in situations where they've got to have, well, we've got to have a good story in order to separate them from their money. God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that because, number one, it's not a willing heart. It's not a willing mind that gives. It's a mind that's been coerced by some tragic story. It's a mind that has had some legalistic pressure or persuasion. It's not a cheerful giver. It's a giving out of emotion. God doesn't respect that. God doesn't honor that. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. The third principle is that you be careful to give your money to reliable recipients. Reliable recipients. Begin with verse 13. "For I mean not that other men be eased and be burdened, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And it's written, he that had much had nothing over he that had little and had no lack. But thanks be to God who put the earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being very diligent of his own accord, he went unto you, and we have sent him with the brother," I think that's Timothy, "whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who also chosen of the churches to travel with us this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and to show our ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us." Those who you give to have to be reliable recipients to administer the gift given. You follow me? Okay, one of the practices that we utilize is Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. If an organization is not a member of the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability, we don't give. That's just one of the things we don't do. A second subpart of this principle is that those who live extravagant lifestyles, we don't give to those. You follow me? They don't honor God. They're relying on God, and yet they're squandering what God has provided for them on things that have to do with this world. And there's many out there today who preach that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If not, that's another lesson that we need to maybe get into. But number one, everything belongs to God. Once you have that understanding in your mind and in your heart, and you recognize that He has never, never left His people to beg. They don't have to. And I'm not slamming people who make their needs known. But I don't think Paul ever did. I think in all the preaching in the ministry of Paul, I don't think he ever cried about his situation. You follow me? I think that he made it very clear that God supplied all his needs. God provided for every need that he had. I think it's a wrong conclusion to draw. Look at chapter 9, verse 6. I think it's a wrong conclusion to draw that if you give, God's going to give back. That's a bad motive. That's not a willingness of heart. That's not voluntary. That has coercion involved in it. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." Many of God's people fall prey to that fact that if I give one, I'll get ten back. Now, we're not going to deal with the passage that covers that, but many of God's people are fleeced by the shepherds that God has put out there. I should put shepherds in quotations. So, principle number three, reliable recipients. Reliable recipients, people who administer the gifts of God appropriately. Now, come back to our passage and we'll finish up. Verse 17, chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift." Why is that? "But I desire that fruit that may abound to your account." Now, when you think about fruit, do you think about money? I don't. I think about fruit. I think about all those other needed things that I have in my walk with the Lord. The things that come from the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I need to learn those things. I need to apply them. Those are the supplies that I'm short of at times, and I need God's extra power to meet their needs. And that's what he talks about in verse 18. "I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," or through Christ. Those are the real needs that we have. The monetary needs God takes care of. You remember the story about the widow, the widow's mites? You remember as they sat outside the treasury and Jesus was sitting there and he noticed all the widow that walked over, and he said that she gave all that she had. She put in two mites. And yet there are other people coming by and they gave a lot out of their abundance, but not at all compared to what the widow who had two mites had given. When she gave all that she had, you know, she had total reliance upon him. That's faith. That's trust. She put all her weight on him, if I may use an analogy of, say, a chair. That's trusting in him. She gave it all because she trusted in him completely. She relied on him completely. Paul never relied on the Philippians to help him. God blessed him through the generosity of their heart. Even though they were poverty-stricken, they still had the willingness of heart to give for the administration of God's need, or the need of God's people's and their administration. I think those principles will help you. I think you need to remember them and keep them up here when you're dealing with giving, and especially when you're dealing with others who start talking about tithing. I hope that helps you with a few chosen passages to correct that thinking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as you bless us with a greater understanding of what your calling includes, the giving to the administration of the need of the time of those that are about your work. May we be wise and good stewards of that which you've blessed us with. We pray this, Father, for Christ's sake and in his name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.